In this way. Uttara Mataha. O Maharaja Parikshit. Son of Mother Uttara. Saha. That Brahman. Vai. Indeed. Brahma Rishi Sutaha. Jada Bharata, the son of a highly educated Brahmana. Sindhu Pataye. Unto the king of the province of Sindhu. Atma Satatvam. The actual constitutional position of the soul. Vigana Yataha. Although insulting Jada Bharata. Para Anubhavaha. Who is very exalted in spiritual realization. Parama Karunikataya. By his quality of being very kind to the fallen souls. Upadishya. Instructing. Rahuganena. By King Rahugana. Sakarunam. Pityosli. Actually, in this particular case, it means with compassion. So it's not that, like, generally you think of like pity, oh, I pity you. But this is with compassion. Sa means with, korunam, compassion or mercy. Abhivandata charana, whose lotus feet were worshipped. Apurna arnava eva, like the full ocean. Nibrita, completely silenced. Kanana, of the senses. Urmi, the waves. Ashyaha, possessing a heart in which. Dharanim, the earth. Imam, this. Vichachara, continue to roam. So Śrīla Śukadeva Gosvāmī continued, my dear king, O son of mother Uttara, there were some waves of dissatisfaction in the mind of Jada Bharata due to his being insulted by King Rahugana, who made him carry his palanquin. But Jada Bharata neglected this, and his heart again became calm and quiet like an ocean. Although King Rahugana had insulted him, he was a great Paramahansa. Being a Vaishnava, he was naturally very kind-hearted, and he therefore told the king about the constitutional position of the soul. He then forgot the insult because King Rahugana pitifully begged pardon at his lotus feet. After this, he began to wander all over the earth just as before. So you can repeat. Śrīla Śukadeva Gosvāmī continued. My dear king, O son of mother Uttara, there were some waves of dissatisfaction in the mind of Jada Bharata due to his being insulted by King Rahugana, who made him carry his palanquin. But Jada Bharata neglected this, and his heart again became calm and quiet, like an ocean. Although King Rahugana had insulted him, he was a great Paramahansa. Being a Vaishnava, he was naturally very kind-hearted. And he therefore told the king about the constitutional position of the soul. He then forgot the insult. Because King Rahugana pitifully begged pardon at his lotus feet. After this, he began to wander All over the earth. Just as
before.
So purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, chapter 25, text 21, Kapila Deva describes the symptoms of great personalities. Tatikshua kurunika surya sarvadehinam. A saintly devotee is certainly very tolerant. He is the friend of all living entities, and he does not create enemies within the world. A pure devotee has all the qualities of a sadhu. Jadavarta is an example of this. Due to the material body, his senses were certainly agitated when he was insulted by King Rahugana. But later, due to the king's humble submission, Jadavarta excused him. It is the duty of everyone desiring to return to Godhead to become submissive like King Rahugana and beg pardon of Vaishnavas one may have offended. Vaishnavas are generally very kind-hearted. Therefore, if one immediately submits himself at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, one is immediately cleared of offensive reactions. If one does not do so, the reactions will remain and the results will not be very palatable. So, Sri Shukravacha ityevam utaramata sabai varmarashi sutta sindhu patiya atma satatvam vigana yata paranubhava parama kuruni kata yo padishya ruhuganena sakarunam abhivandata charana apurnar nava ivanibritta karanor kanorm yashayo dharanim imam vichachara. So, Om Ganat Timirandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, there's a lot of information here, particularly about the position of a Vaishnava. I mean, sometimes we have this misunderstanding, and we think that a Vaishnava basically has no feelings. You know, that basically, even though he's within the material body, that, you know, he's just like callous to everything. I mean, callous in the sense that he's able to control his reaction to different stimuli. But just the very fact, as Prabhupada points out here, even though Jadavarta was a paramahansa, just the very fact that he's within a material body, there's certain ways the material body reacts to different stimuli, isn't it? I mean, just like, if you may be a pure devotee, but if someone hits you on the knee, you go to the doctor and they hit you on the knee, not to hurt you. That's called testing your reflexes. I don't know if they still do that. I don't think so. When I was young, we'd go to the doctor. Not that I'm a pure devotee or anything. Certainly I wasn't when I was young. So we'd go to the doctor and they'd take this little mallet and they hit you on your knee. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
And then your leg is supposed to shoot up and kick the doctor at that particular point. Sometimes that happens like that. A little soft mallet. And that's testing your reflexes. So you may be a pure devotee, or you may be like an animalistic person, but the reflexes are actually the same. Just to give a better understanding of that, whether you're a pure devotee or not, when you drive a car, the car functions in the same way. You know, just like I have a Honda, a pure devotee can drive the Honda, and it still needs oil, or a materialist can drive a Honda and it still needs oil. Sometimes devotees think, this is actually a crazy thing that devotees have, that because they're a devotee, they don't have to change the oil on the car or even put gasoline in the car. I remember in the early days of the movement that the oil was definitely very low. And what to speak of the gasoline, it was always just like a little above empty. And many times it ran out. Like one time I was with Gopal, and I said, look, it's empty, you know. We were going to be in trouble. He said, no, Krishna will take care of us. And then what happened, we were on the interstate, and boom, boom, and the car ran out of gas. And I, you know, naturally, because I was young, I started yelling at him. I said, "You said." He said, "Well, what can I do?" And he said, "Well, I'll walk and get some gas." And I said, "It's going to take you an hour to get gas." And I said that, "You can hear or what? It's not loud enough? It's too low." I said, "It's going to take you an hour." I said, "You just sit in the car and behave yourself, and I'll get the gas." So fortunately, we were about a mile away from an exit, so it wasn't a big problem. So I just, anyway, grabbed whatever container I had, went to the gas station, brought it back, and started the car again. It's also hard to start a car once it's run out of gas, because it gets impurities in the engine, and then also you have to sometimes prime the carburetor. In those days, it had a carburetor. And so anyway, it didn't matter whether we were pure devotees or not. The car ran out of gas. So the car is a vehicle, in the same way the body is a vehicle. It's called yantra. And as Krishna says in the Gita, yantra udani maya iswara sarvabhutanam. He says the Supreme Lord is in everyone's heart. Iswara sarvabhutanam videcha arjuna tishtati. It's situated, or he is situated in the heart. Brahmanyan sarvabhutani yantra udani maya. And everyone's living or working on the machine of material energy. Moving on the machine of material energy. So we have a body, and another misconception people have is that if they eat prasadam, certainly prasadam is purifying spiritually, but if they eat prasadam that's very fatty and sweet, they're not going to get diabetes because it's prasadam. It's good for you. That's another misconception, you know, that people think the material energy is going to act in a different way than the laws of nature. I mean, just like, huh? I mean, so many devotees have gotten heart attacks. I mean, just practically every other day I get a message from one of my disciples or the wife of one of my disciples who said so-and-so just had a heart attack. I mean, just this morning I looked and someone just had a stroke and he's in the hospital and I got to call him, you know, basically. So, and that's from eating prasadam. Interesting, isn't it? So devotees have this whole conception that if it's offered to Krishna, oh yes, sure, it's pure. I understand. I don't want to criticize prasadam. The taste is the taste of Krishna. But the fat still goes into your arteries. You know, whether it's prasadam or not. It is certain physical phenomena that occur. Like driving the car, you need petrol. Or eating, you need to watch what you're eating or else you can kill yourself with prasadam. And even, not only kill yourself, you can make yourself lustier with prasadam. Prabhupada said so many stalwarts fell down in the name of Mahaprasadam. In other words, they ate too many sweets. Not that taking Mahaprasadam is bad. It's very wonderful. I mean, taste is Krishna. But then it may have some effect because there's a material energy. I mean, or another example is the present state of the Jamuna River. You know, we understand the Jamuna comes from the spiritual world, the Ganges comes from the spiritual world. But in India, they've blocked off the flow of the Jamuna from the Himalayas, from Yamunotri. And then basically all you're getting in Vrindavan right now is sewage and industrial runoff. And you know, not only industrial, but the runoff from the streets of Delhi and other cities like Faridabad and other cities like that. And so, but people are still going in the Jamuna and think they're not going to get sick. And there's so many people ending up in hospitals. People have died already from that, skin diseases. I mean, it has one of the highest concentrations of bacteria, viruses, and all sorts of nice little parasites. And people think, oh, we're in Vrindavan, we're not going to get sick. Or people, like, or you go to India and you're driving like crazy, you think Krishna's going to protect me, you know. You drive on the right side of the road when you're supposed to drive on the left side of the road. So many accidents occur, even in India. I mean, yeah, people think like driving from Calcutta to Mayapur is a spiritual experience. Well, maybe if you're helping you take shelter of Krishna's holy names. That's true. I mean, I definitely take shelter of Krishna's holy name. You can't sleep. One time I tried to sleep and I had back pains for the next few days after that. Because it was just, you know, so bumpy like that. So, you know, the material body acts in a certain way. So it's important for people to be aware of that. Of how the material body acts. I mean, now many of our older devotees in the movement have become aware after 30 or 40 years. And then you hear how many devotees are going for this thing called a panchakarma. You heard of that before? Panchakarma. It's actually very interesting. It means purifying yourself in five different ways. And not only fasting, but, you know, sweating and purgatives. And so we find the devotees are regularly having to go every few months, you know, this is my 6-month panchakarma now. Like that. And so, you know, you wonder, why do you have to keep going for panchakarma to get rid of all the stuff in your body? Why don't you just follow some regulated diet and lifestyle so you won't have to get rid of everything that's in the body? So in other words, devotees are discovering after 50 years in the Hare Krishna movement that their bodies do have the same qualities, like materially, as the qualities of non-devotees. I mean, just, wow, that's a surprise, isn't it? That's shocking. You know, my hair is getting gray or I'm losing my hair. Why is this? I've been chanting Hare Krishna so many years. Why am I having this hair loss here? Even poor Mahamantra, you know, he's younger. He's lamenting. We're sending him for a hair transplant next week. He's saving up for a hair transplant. So, you know, gray hair, wrinkles, all these things happen. You know, we may weigh too much or too little. Or we have knee problems, or we have this problem, that problem. But I've been chanting Hare Krishna. No. You've been chanting Hare Krishna. That's good for the soul. And it's also good for the subtle body. It dissolves the subtle body. But this body is simply a yantra. It's simply a machine. That's what you got to recognize. I mean, that's really one of the points here. It said, due to the material body. Now here he is, a pure devotee. Of course, in one sense, we understand the pure devotee's body is spiritual. Because he's using it for Krishna. But in another sense, it's physical. Let's use a term that's more precise, okay? It's still a physical body and subject to the laws of the physical universe. So let's say someone insults you. Let's get back to this example here. The body physiologically reacts in a certain way. It's just like the doctor hitting you in the knee. It's a reflex. You know, someone punches me, immediately I want to punch back. Just like nowadays, of course, the way of people greet each other is with punches. Isn't that? Isn't it? I mean, it's hard to keep up with the modern system, you know. First I thought you had to do high five, and now it's punch everybody. At least the men do that, right? And you got to learn different things. So anyway, so if someone, you know, so let's give the example of a door closing. You know, sometimes devotees, they slam the door here. And immediately it makes me jump up. You know, I may be pure or not pure, but it's going to have the same reaction. Well, Prabhupada said when people slam doors, it cracks his heart. Prabhupada used that example. Still people have gotten a little better here. Still people sometimes go, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're pure or not. You're going to have that reaction, at least. Or another thing is, or let's get another favorite point of mine, is the hearing. Right? You know, it doesn't matter that you're chanting the Lord's holy names. If it's 150 decibels, which is not that much. I mean, on my phone, I actually have a decibel meter. You can get an app on your phone, you know. So I go into the kirtan, it's like over 100 decibels every kirtan. So if it's so loud, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get hearing loss. And after a while, you're going to have this tinnitus. You know, tinnitus means a constant ringing in your ear. And then you're going to think, oh, it's even more spiritual because I'm hearing kirtan all the time. The cartels never go away even when I'm trying to sleep, you know. Little bells and cartels. You know, my godbrother, Jayad Wittemara, he did a whole report on this. You know, he discovered he went to an audiologist. You know what an audiologist is? I mean, someone who measures your hearing. That's when you were young, they used to put these headsets on. He said, do you hear this sound? Do you hear that sound? Anyone had that happen to them when they were young? In school they used to do that, right? I don't know what they do now. And so he went to the audiologist, and the audiologist, you know, because he went, he was hearing the constant ringing. The audiologist said, you know, you got to watch it. You have hearing loss, and you have tinnitus. And he wrote a whole report on that, you know, about the decibels. Decibel means how loud something is. It's logarithmic. In other words, if you go from 10 to 20 decibels, of course, you never have anything so soft like that. It's like it increases 4 or 8 times or something like that, the amount of the volume. So you may think, oh, it's only gone. This kirtan is only 10 decibels more than your kirtan. But that's like 10 times. It may be 10 times as loud. So people think, oh, it's kirtan, you know, or... I go over all these different axes I have to grind. You know, loud kirtans. And then suddenly now Jayad Wittemara, he has these special form-fitting earplugs that he spent $150 on. And when I see him, he gives out, like, samples of earplugs. And, of course, I wear earplugs and because I don't want to lose my hearing. Hearing is so valuable for Krishna consciousness. But people don't understand that. You know, with the eating, the hearing, not caring for the body, too little sleep. You know, they think you can get by with too little sleep. But even in the Gita it says if one sleeps too much or sleeps too little, he can't become a yogi. So if you sleep too little, I mean, all sorts of things, increase in heart disease, increase in stroke, diabetes, overweight. I mean, all these things occur.
I also read that it makes women fat too.
Yeah, that's right, overweight, yeah.
Oh,
I said that already. So overweight increases the, you know, the estrogen, the bone disease. I mean, all these things come about. But you've been thinking, you know, I'm doing it for Krishna. But you really have to be careful of taking care of this body. The body is a machine, just like a car. It's no more, I mean, it's much more sophisticated, but it's no more different in terms of the interactions of the material energy than a car is. More sophisticated, I mean, it's obviously infinitely more sophisticated than a car, but still, that's life. So this is the point that's being made here, which is quite surprising, that if you're a devotee, got agitated when he got insulted. Wow. However, because he's a pure devotee, he has intelligence. And what has that intelligence told him? He told him it's not good to curse the king. You know, let's say Durvasa Muni, of course Durvasa Muni's a pure devotee, but you know, he has a little anger issues from time to time. So he gives out, you know, and also he's an expansion of Lord Shiva, so he's easily pleased, easily angered. So he gives out benedictions pretty easily and curses pretty easy. I mean, Durvasa Muni comes to town, you better hide or else you're going to be in trouble. So the point is being on the intelligence platform. It's not a disqualification if you get angry or some other physical reaction occurs in your body. Because that's the nature of the body. That's the nature of the body. I mean, just like, or I'll give an example. Like, I may walk by a pizza place. You know, sometimes we're in the airport. And, you know, it's not that I have a nose clip on or anything like that. And everybody knows that pizza used to be, you know, my favorite food. I had a picture of it on the altar when I was... So... So I may walk by a pizza place, and it happens, you know, in the airport there's always pizza. Half the restaurants, they have pizza there in the restaurant, in the airport. So you walk by and you smell. And automatically, you know, there's some saliva that's generated. Generated. Excreted. Not excreted, but it's inside, you know. There's some thought. But then my intelligence says, no. First of all, it's not prasadam. Second of all, do you want to die? Killed by a pizza. So, do you want to, you know, remember your determination? What is your determination? Your determination is to try to live longer, not have a stroke for as long as possible, and just remain healthy, remain at a certain weight. So then the intelligence just shifts into gear. You know, I turn on my intelligence. It takes a while to start it up. But, you know, you turn on your intelligence, and the intelligence, all right, yes, sir. And then you fix, not only do you not do it, but you actually fix your mind on something else. On your goal of life. Even, it's not a question of doing a negative. You can't do a don't, as they say. Because then you start thinking of it more. But you start thinking of the positive goals you have in life. And Krishna consciousness. And then it says, all right, Hare Krishna. And then it sort of goes away. So the same thing happened with Jatabharata here. He got angry. I mean, someone insults you. It's just like a natural response. If someone says you're ugly, or something, you're stupid, you're ugly. Especially you do that with the women. Maybe you say, you have a bad hair day today. Actually, the ladies have that saying, I've had a bad hair day. That's a nice wig you have on. Well, yeah, you know, that's super angry. There's a lot of things you can tell ladies. One time a devotee came with his wife to the temple, and I said, it's so nice you brought your mother to the temple today. And he said, Maharaj, it's my wife. I said, oh, excuse me, I got to run away. I have an appointment right now. You know, if looks could kill, I'd be dead by that particular point. Would have been dead. So you know, it's natural that if someone insults you, you just have an automatic response. And you too. You know, you just want to tit for tat, so to speak. So instead, you just remember, I'm supposed to be merciful. I mean, that happens. I mean, not only like spur-of-the-moment insults, but the interesting thing is that when you're in this world, sometimes friends become enemies. You know, or people who you really have a close relationship, they turn against you. So that's a test. They turn against you and just like either go on the internet or do something to try to hurt you. You know, I've had so many experiences of that. And actually it's helpful devotional service. That's what I found. Because, first of all, it's a test to see if you can be compassionate and take shelter of Krishna's holy names. And you see them as your friend, in fact. Because it helps you remember the purpose of human life rather than trying to enjoy society, friendship, and love in this world. Isn't it? So in one sense, I can say when people insult me, they're actually helping me advance spiritually. But it takes some intelligence to figure that out. It's not a spur-of-the-moment response. Spur-of-the-moment response is, how could he do that to me? She say that to me. Oh no, woe is me. And then you get to think of yourself more, right?
So temporal thing. First is the spur of the moment response, and later on the intelligence.
The intelligence kicks in, yeah. You can't expect the intelligence to kick in like half a millisecond after. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. I mean, it may take a few minutes for the intelligence to kick in. Or a few days sometimes the intelligence to get. You know, because immediately you start, immediately, or weeks, or years. So immediately you start thinking more about yourself, and then you say, but then you're thinking about yourself. He insulted me. But then you think, yeah, but I'm supposed to be Krishna conscious. What would please my spiritual master? What would please Krishna? And you think, well, Krishna would be pleased if I'm compassionate with this person and pray for their welfare. And then you think, I can't do that! I mean, there's this whole internal struggle that happens. I mean, I'm just being a little bit introspective, revealing what happens with me. It's just like, the mind says, you can't do that, that's impossible. And then the intelligence is saying, but you have to do it if you want to be Krishna conscious. And the mind says, I'm not sure I want to be Krishna conscious now. And the intelligence says, yes you do, that's your goal in life. So you got this constant like dialogue between the intelligence and the mind going on, and then hopefully the intelligence wins out, and then you grit your teeth, yes, Krishna, please help this person. I don't really mean it. Krishna, help him. You got to say a few more times, Krishna, help this person. Help me be compassionate. Then you pray to Krishna, help me, you know, have the right feeling. You know, because sometimes you pray for something you don't really mean, isn't it? I know I'm supposed to pray like that, but I don't feel like that at all. So, but then you have to pray to Krishna to help you have that feeling, and then eventually you're able to win over it. And that really makes you stronger. It's like exercising muscles. It actually strengthens the intelligence to do that. The more you do that, the more you put it in tests like that, the stronger your intelligence becomes, and then, of course, the heavier test that Krishna sends. It's like building up your muscles in the gym. You know, they put these weights on at the end of the bar, and they put heavier weights and heavier weights and heavier weights. You can't even move it. You know, you have the barbells trapped on your chest, and you're just like, can someone pick it up for me? Can someone move it? So finally it becomes like that. Now hopefully you become strong enough so you can bench press it. So that's really the point. And that's what's happening with Jatabharata.
What about Ramananda Roy, whose mind is like stone or wood in the presence of stimuli?
He had a specific prerogative to do that. That's what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that even if he saw the form of a lady, he'd feel changes in his body and mind. Of course, Lord Chaitanya would also, I mean, obviously wasn't, that was just giving us an example of how someone should be careful about dealing with the material energy. Like Prabhupada said, you Western boys and girls are not scared of Maya. So that was Ramananda Roy's specific prerogative. And obviously a pure devotee, if he's absorbed in his internal identity, nothing bothers him. But Jatabharata, even though he was a Paramahamsa, he came down to the platform of Vajramadakari. That's another answer to that. In order to preach and interact in this world, you have to be a Vajramadakari. Paramahamsa is so much absorbed in his spiritual identity, he doesn't care if he eats or not. Like Madhavendra Puri, but most of us are not even Vajramadakaris, but to speak of Paramahamsas. All right, on that happy note, controlling the senses, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Radha Gaur Premananda.